Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never took time to study some on the life of Christ, it's very interesting to study. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to say this to you, He should be your favorite character in the Word of God. Somebody asks you who's your favorite character in the Bible, it ought to be Jesus. That's who it ought to be. And after Jesus, then I've got a few that comes in there really close to each other. But Christ is by far my most favorite character in the Lord, in the Bible. And take time sometime to read the Gospels, but while reading them, really emphasize on the words that Christ said. Now, I know some doesn't use a red-letter Bible, and the Bible that I preach out of the biggest part of the time is not a red letter Bible. It's just a black letter Bible with no notes in it or anything. It's just a wide margin Bible. This is one that I study out of all the time, and of course it's a red letter Bible, but anyway, look at what Christ is saying and then look at the context of it. There's all grades of books out today on the life of Christ. Matter of fact there's series of books out. John Butler has a series that's 9 different books on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It deals with the Sermon on the Mount, deals with His incarnation, it deals with His miracles, it deals with His crucifixion, it deals with His return. I'm trying to think what all of them are, but it's a great series of books, and study the life of Christ. And one reason that I tell people right after they get saved or get right with God to go to the book of John and begin reading the book of John is it will teach you who Jesus is. You'll get to know more about the Lord reading through the book of John. And I want to say this to you tonight. If you'll fall in love with Jesus, you'll not have trouble with falling in love with anybody else. Yeah, man, goes right there. You say, well, preacher, there's just some people I just don't care for. If you'll fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not have problems loving anybody else. That don't mean that we have to like them and they have to be our best friend, but there'll be a love inside of our heart for that individual and for their soul, amen? And fall in love with the Lord tonight. And I want to say this to you tonight. He ought to be your best friend. Somebody ask you who your best friend is, it ought to immediately go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, who's your best friend? Well, it's the Lord. Who's your next best friend? My wife. Yeah, man, I don't want to spend time with nobody else more than I want to spend time with my wife and my Lord and Savior. And you say, well, I'm not that way with my spouse. Well, I'm sorry. You fall in love with the Lord and you will be that way. Yeah, man. You fall in love, you can draw a triangle tonight, put God at the top of it, and you and your spouse's name at the bottom of it, and the closer you and your spouse get to God, the closer you'll get to each other. And fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to look here a little bit at the miracles, or just an introduction to the miracles in the Bible. And let me say it this way, the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ does while He was here. Now, a lot of people, and you've heard me mention this before, whenever you study your Bible, you go back to the law of first mention. And really, if you want to go back to the law of first mention of miracles in general, of course, we would have to go back to Genesis 1. God creating the world. That was a miracle that happened. But I'm not looking at that. We're looking primarily at the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in His 3.5 years while He was here on earth. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that we'd get understanding from Your Word. I pray, God, Father, Lord, that You'd help us as we look at it tonight. Father, we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In John chapter number 2, we find the first miracle that Jesus ever performs. Now, I'm going to give you a little thought on that at the closing of the message tonight. Now, I just want to give you a few things that if you're interested in some of the things that I'm saying, the book that I'm reading out of primarily, and I'm reading out of numerous books, but primarily in a lot of the seed thoughts that I'll give you will come out of this book, is John G. Butler, The Miracles of Jesus Christ. Or The Miracles of Christ. You can buy it digitally for hardly nothing. And then you can buy it from Sword of the Lord for probably, I don't know what, $15 or so, Brother Dakota, because it's softback now. I know when there was hardback, there was a whole lot more expensive. But you can get that book, and it's a good-sized book. And if I was you, I wouldn't buy it yet because you're going to have to buy it in Bible college next semester. But anyway, keep that in the back of your mind, Brother Heath. It'll come. You've already got it. So, the miracles of the Lord. The miracles of the Lord. Let's look at a few things. The clarification of the miracles. What exactly are these miracles of Christ? What is a miracle tonight? And can I say this tonight? Is there still miracles today? Absolutely, there's miracles today. It's a miracle that you woke up this morning. It's a miracle that we're walking today. It's a miracle that we're talking today. Yes, absolutely, there's still miracles. But think about this tonight. The miracles of Christ are supernatural acts caused by the will of Jesus Christ, which contrasts to and interrupt the way in which life ordinarily functions. Well, I read that and I thought, how true is that? A miracle is something that happens that interrupts the way that our life ordinarily happens. Let me tell you, can I just share one miracle with you? July the 20th, 1994, the Holy Ghost interrupted the way that I ordinarily went about my day and convicted me of my sins and saved my soul. So a miracle is a supernatural act of God on our behalf. I thought about this, the calling of the miracles. Now, this is interesting, the calling of the miracles. What are the miracles called in the Scriptures? There's four primary Greek words whenever you study miracles out that you'll find. Now, let me give them to you, and I'm sure that I'll butcher them because I know a little Hebrew and a little Greek. One owns a service station, one owns a motel. But let me try to give this to you. The first one is this. The word dunamis, and it, here's what it means. Dunamis means power. That's what it means. It is the Greek word which gives us our English word dynamite or dynamic. The King James translate four different ways regarding Christ's miracles, and they are mighty works, virtue, power, and miracle. So there's dunamis, and then there's the word Simeon, and it means an indication or a sign. It's translated two different times regarding Christ's miracles, and it's translated signs and miracles. Then there's the word egon, and it means act or labor. It's translated as work regarding Christ's miracle, except one time when it is translated in the word deed. And then the last word is this, teras. And here's what it means. It means something extraordinary. Something, you know what a miracle is? It's something extraordinary. Right. Leslie and I was coming up the road today. We had been to the hospital this morning, and we was coming up the road today, and while we was coming up the road, we was talking about a couple in the church and what God has been doing in their life and how God has just been blessing them. And they had talked about how they had begun tithing and faithfully tithing and giving to the Lord, and how God had increased. How God, did y'all hear me? How they hadn't got no raises or anything, but how God had increased what they have. I'm getting like four amens on that. How God had increased that. And it was talking about the things that God was doing in their life. And I thought about this. I thought about this. It's translated as wonders. This word teres is translated as wonders. And can I just say something to you? There is times in our life that that's what God does. He performs wonders in our life. You ever just sat back and pondered on the goodness of God? We was at youth camp, and Miss Christiana began to testify at youth camp. Miss Christiana Brewster, and man, I'm telling you, she had a powerful testimony. The Lord was on her, and she was testifying, and she said, there was a year or two in my life that I just didn't know what the Lord was going to do with me. And she said, I felt like I was just wandering around aimlessly. And she said, we was coming down the road in the big bus today, and she said, there was teenagers all around us singing and laughing and cutting up. And she said, I looked, and I saw my husband sitting there, and I thought in the back of my mind, how did I get here? Can I just say something to you? It was a miracle of the Lord. I mean, look at Dakota Queen. He's married. You tell me God doesn't do miracles? It's wonders. That's what it is. And when we think about the calling of these miracles, it's the different words that is used. Here's the one writer summarized it. He said this: the word dunamis emphasizes the power behind the miracle. The word Simeon emphasizes the purpose or the sign in the miracle. The word egon emphasizes the performing of the miracle. And the word teres emphasizes the praise from the miracle. And when I say this, when I look at the wonders of the Lord, it should cause us to lift an unworthy hand and praise Him for what He does. Now, each of these miracles in the Bible, as we will begin studying, you do not see the word miracle in every one of them. Can I say this to you tonight? We don't have to have the word miracle in the text to understand that it is a miracle from the Lord. So we see the calling of the miracles. Think about this, the counting of the miracles. I've read a lot on this, the counting of the miracles. How many miracles did the Lord Jesus Christ perform? It is impossible to count the exact number of all the miracles Christ recorded in the Scriptures. There are at least two main reasons for this. Let me give it to you. Number one, some miracles are summarized. They're summarized. Let me illustrate it. A number of times in the Gospels, or a number of times the Gospels give a summary report of Christ's miracle working. According to William Scorby, in his book, A Guide to the Gospels, these summary statements appear 12 times in Matthew, 10 times in Mark, 5 times in Luke, and 6 times in John. We state one from Matthew to show what we mean by a summary statement. When the evening was come, this is Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that was possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. So you say, how many miracles was performed that day? We don't know. There was many that was performed. So when we think about counting the miracles, it can't be done because some of the miracles are summarized, but then because some of the miracles are similar. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, if you'll read through the Gospels, then I tell you something that's very interesting to do, to read through the Gospels quickly. What I mean by that is put your earplugs in with the volume turned wide open and start in Matthew and put whoever you're listening to read it, put them on a fast pace of reading. In other words, speed it up a couple of times. Still where you can understand it, but speed it up a couple of times and listen to the four Gospels back to back. Now, you can do it pretty quickly if you'll do it that way. Matter of fact, you know what? Some of you sit at work all day or walk around at work with earbuds in and listen to everything. Why not listen to the Word of God? Amen. And listen to it quickly. And here's what you'll see. You'll see a reoccurrence. You'll see it, matter of fact, and I'll say more about this as we get into it. If you've got, I don't know how all the Bibles are, but if you've got a Scofield Bible, and this is a what they call a type 3 Scofield, but anyway, if you'll notice in the Gospels, there is, as they break these chapters down, there is other chapters and verses above it. And what that is, it is showing you where that is found in the other Gospels. That is, as far as an R.L. Allen and a Schuyler, that's two things that I do not like about them. They don't do that. And a Cambridge don't do that. A Rock of Ages don't do that. I do think a Life Application does because I was studying some of it today. But anyway, so it's hard to know exactly how many miracles Christ did perform. Matter of fact, one said it this way. Paper and books could not contain what Christ really done in 3.5 years. So think about this with me. The categories of the miracles. The categories of the miracles. John Butler and then also R.C. Trench in his book on the miracles of Christ divides it into four main, or Butler does this. Butler and R.C. Trench both deals with 33 specific ones. But Butler divides it down into four primary categories. There's the ruling of nature. There's the restoring of health, the removing of demons, and the raising of the dead. Now think about this. The cause for miracles. Why did Jesus Christ perform miracles while he was on earth? You ever thought about that? And we know miracles happened before then. We know miracles still happen today. Now, I don't believe in all this hogwash of you coming up here and letting me place hands on you and you walk out of here without your cane, Brother Joe. I mean, you can walk out of here without your cane, but you're probably going to fall even if I pray over you. Are you with me? It's the Lord. I don't believe in all that healing. Come here, let me slap some oil on you and let's go on down the road. And you say, well, what about anointing with oil? Well, if you do it the right way, it's in private. It's not done in front of everybody. The Bible said they asked for the elders of the church. And boy, I might really stump somebody's toe right here on this, but there ain't nowhere in the Bible where old brother such and such come up and said, I'm going to stand in for somebody else. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Amen. Now, if we need to go to Bible doctrines, we can, but it was a private thing. But I can say this, I believe that the Lord still does miracles, but in his day, what was the cause of the miracle? Why did he do it? Let me show you two or three things right here. Can I say this? The miracles of Christ had many causes or purposes. Number one, I would say it this way, to glorify God. It was for the glorification of God. It was so God would be glorified. And can I say this to you tonight? If God does a miracle in your life, it's not for your good, it's for his glory. It's for his glory. I know we've picked on Brother Joe tonight, but that is a miracle. That they took him to surgery that night, and we didn't think we'd ever see him again alive after that surgery. And here he sits today. Hey, that wasn't so Joe could walk around. That was so God could be glorified. And that was the reason they was the glorification of God, the confirmation of Christ's claim as the Son of God, Messiah, and Savior of men. It was so that he could confirm who he was. Can I say this? Why was it? It was the demonstration of Christ's divine power, of what he could do as the God-man. Now, I thought about this. It was the alleviation of needs in the lives of humanity. Why did he perform miracles? Because of the alleviation of needs in lives. Let me tell you the reason he performs miracles today. It's to get rid of that need in our life. I thought about this. Why? What was another cause of it? The education about the matters of faith. The matters of faith. You want me to tell you one reason that I believe that we don't see as many miracles today as we did then? Is because of a lack of faith. The Bible said this, if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could say unto this mountain, be removed and it'd be gone. I'm talking about the mustard seed is tea tiny. It's one of the smallest seeds that there is. The lack of faith. So he done it to educate them on the matters of faith. I'll say this to you, and then we'll look at this little thought right here in John for just a second. There is the critics of the miracles. The critics of the miracles. Anytime God done something miraculous through the life of Christ, there was always a critic. There was always somebody that had something smart to say about it. Are you hearing me tonight? There was all, you remember, I believe it was Mark, maybe chapter number 2, and he healed that man, and they reasoned within themselves. You know what? There was critics that day. Now, I want to say something. When God does something for you and God does a miracle for you, let me tell you what, there'll be critics that come out against you. Yeah, man, there'll be critics. I've seen God do some amazing things this year in our life, but I've not shared them with some people. And you say, why? Because I know there'll be a critic, Brother Dakota. When you start on deputation before long, you're gonna, if you're faithful to God and you give to the church and you live a life pleasing, God's going to do some miracles in your life. And you have to learn who you can share those miracles with. Let me tell you the reason why. Because some of those that you think you can share them with, you'll find out they're a critic. And Jesus always had critics. But it did not hinder him from doing the work that he did. Now look with me right there in John chapter number 2. There's a few things about the miracles. This is the very first miracle. Now I know what time it is and I'm going to be brief right here. But this is the very first miracle. We're going to glance at it. And then Sunday night we'll begin looking into it. Because this miracle right here is a miracle that a lot of people will take and say it's all right for me to go get drunk on. This miracle right here. But that's not what it is. That's not. God never put a go where God put a woe. And he said, woe be unto the man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. God never put a go on that. Now, amen. It's Wednesday night. I need some help. We'll get through this. Brother Granville said today, he looked at his people, son, and said, y'all about to kill me. Y'all going to have to help me. And can I say something? God never put a go where God put a woe. God put a woe on that, and God never give us a goal. But this is a miracle that a lot of people take out of context. Let's look at what the Bible said in verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, I found this interesting. I've never thought about this till studying this and reading several people. And several people talks about the absence of Joseph. And matter of fact, most commentators believe that he is dead by this time. The last time that we really heard anything else about Joseph was back in the temple. And when Jesus, I can't even remember exactly where it's at. It might be Mark chapter number 2, and I got that confused something else. But anyway, when Jesus was sitting in the midst of the doctors and the educated people answering their questions and talking about the Lord, he was 12 years old. And his mother and father came out. It's the last time that we see him. So somewhere between then and now, evidently he's died off the scene. Verse number 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, I'm going to move on past that, but it was interesting to see some of the commentators commentate on this verse, if I can put it that way. Several people, Brother Dakota, believes that he rebukes his mother right here. He rebukes her right here saying, I have nothing to do with this. Mine hour is not yet come. He is not. This is his first miracle. This is the first time he does anything. Verse number 5 says this, his mother saith unto him, or saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firskins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Y'all remember Brother Steve Pope preaching on that? And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let me show you 3 little things here. I'm not going to preach it. I promise you that. Don't turn me off. We're about to go home. Let me show you 3 little things, and then we'll really dive into this, hopefully, Sunday night. I see this in this miracle. He provided the first miracle recorded in Scripture. He provided that which pertained unto the flesh. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. They was thirsty that day, and he gave them drink. Can I say something to you? The first thing that he did in my life, whenever he saved me, he took care of a thirst that I had. He took care of my needs. And can I say something to you tonight? Every need that I've ever had since then, he's taken care of it. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. God will provide for your needs. God will meet your needs. You go to church, you tithe to the church, you be good to the church, and I promise you, God will meet your needs. Amen. Amen. Can I just say that again? You go to church, you tithe to the church, you be good to the church and love the church, and God will meet every one of your needs. Amen. Amen. Can I just say that again? Because it's getting tight on tithing tonight. If you go to church and you tithe to the church, God will take care of your needs. Can I just say this to you tonight? Tithing should not be an option in your life. It should not be something that you and your spouse talk about. It should be done in accordance to the Word of God. You said, preach, I thought you was talking about miracles. I am. And he took care of their need right here, and he'll take care of your need if you'll do what he tells you to do. You know what she said? Whatsoever he saith, do it. You know what I mean? Well, I told you I wasn't going to be long. You know, let me tell you the reason their need was met? Because they done what he said do, Brother Randy. And if you'll do what God says do, and just say this to you tonight, it's the only thing in the Bible that God says try me on. Tithing is the only thing that he says try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. It's the only thing. So this, why did Jesus perform this first miracle? He provided that which pertained to the flesh. But can I say this, number 2? He provided that which pertained to faith. He provided that which pertained to faith. Look what the Bible said in verse number 11. And the latter portion of it. And his disciples believed on him. Look up in here just a minute. I can't tell you exactly when the water was turned to wine. Somewhere from the time they filled it up to the time that they got to the governor of the feast, it was turned from water to wine. You say exactly, I don't know. Can I just tell you something tonight? I just say this right here. Some thinks I got saved when I knelt in an altar in an adult men's prayer room. But let me tell you, when I think I got saved, I think I got saved the minute I stood up off the pew and started that way. Let me tell you, when I think the water got turned to wine, I think it got turned to wine whenever they put the water in the barrels, because they done exactly what the Lord said do. And by faith, they took it to the governor of the feast, and God done what God said he would do. Can I say something to you tonight? If you'll be faithful to God, if you'll trust God, they may be times you don't know how you're going to do it, but hear me and hear me well. God will take care of you. Amen. He done it. Here's the reason why. He provided that which pertained to the faith. He was increasing the disciples' faith. Let me give you this number three. He provided that which pertained to the flesh. He provided that which pertained to the faith. Well, watch that. He provided that which pertained to the future. What did he say? Look in verse number 11. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. You know what he done? He took care of those things that was going to be needed for the future. I'm sure that there was some that had heard who Jesus was, but when this happened right here, matter of fact, if you go back and chapter number 1 and look at Nathaniel and look at Philip and what all's happening right here in the beginning of Christ's miracles, you know what he was doing? He was setting everything up for his future ministry. He increased their faith that day. He gave them what they needed for their flesh that day, and he set things up for the future. The miracles of Christ. I thought about this, Miss Tanya, if you will, come start playing softly. I thought about this. We've got a God that still does miracles today. We've got a God that can still help us today. But I think a lot of times, and I said this just a second ago, but I say it again in closing, I think a lot of times the problem is our faith. Can I just put it this way? I have no trouble believing God can do it for you. I have trouble believing God can do it for me. I have no trouble believing God can do it for you. I have no trouble believing God can do it for another church. Brother Granville, man, they're so excited. They're so excited. We talked today, and him and Miss Summer came by a while, and me and Miss Leslie talked to them a while, and they're so excited. They just right before breaking ground on their new auditorium. And man, it was awesome. We was talking about, and I want to say this, I know we broadcast stuff, and that's all right, because I'm not ashamed. I appreciate Brother Colt Simmons. And he's a contractor that we used on our church, and he's talked to them, and that's who they're using up there, and he's helping them up there. And I appreciate good Christian contractors that will help a church. Amen. And we was talking about that, and we was talking about the different bids and different things. And anyway, we was just talking back and forth. And you know what? I have no trouble believing, Brother Joe, that God's going to build that new auditorium for them. You know what I have trouble believing in sometimes? That God could do it for us. Now, I'm being honest with you tonight. I do. But you know what this miracle should teach us? It developed their faith that day. It developed, when we look at that, God was developing their faith. The miracles of Christ will develop our faith. It will help our faith. I want to say something. Salvation is not progressional. What I mean by that is this. Once you're saved, you're saved. I didn't go to the altar and pray 17 times and burn 42 candles and go get water sprinkled on me a little bit and then go to 7 classes and then I got confirmed. No, I was lost. I asked God to forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me. And I got saved, praise God. That moment, that hour, that day, I was saved. As much saved as I've ever been or ever will be, I got saved that day. But can I say something? Our sanctification and our faith is progression. It grows. Our faith grows. Your faith ought to be stronger today in the Lord than it's ever been. It should grow in us. And in these miracles, as we begin to study, we begin to think about it. It should develop our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said this, that God is no respecter of person. Now I want to rewind and look in the Old Testament too. And you look at what God done, some of those Old Testament saints. Look at the miracles God done for them. I'm just not talking about the miracles that Christ done in 3.5 years of his ministry. You look at what God done for them. You look at Elijah, how God fed Elijah with the crows. That raven, that's practically what it is in our day. A crow come by Brother Adam and fed him. That's a miracle from God. That's a miracle from God. You think about that widow lady that every morning she went out there. That meal barrel never did run over. I believe she scraped every bit of it out every day. What was in it was enough for that day. She walked back inside. She made them something to eat for the day. She went to bed probably the first night or two and didn't sleep much. But probably after about the fourth or the fifth morning of waking up and there being a little bit of meal out there in the barrel, I'd say she started sleeping just fine. And you think about how God done that miracle for her. If God done it for her, you know what happens when I go down there and open the cabinets tonight? It's a miracle from God that there's food in the cabinet. It all goes back to Him, and it should increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited as we begin looking at these miracles and how they'll apply into our lives.